You're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. If you have a question for today's guest, call 783-5160 or 1-855-449-5160.
Saskatchewan, Montana, North Dakota, and Wyoming recently signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU for short, on carbon capture, utilization, and storage. That was a Western Governors Association meeting held recently in Arizona. Now, I want to give you some governmentese language here. In the news release, they say the four governments express a mutual desire to reduce greenhouse gas emissions while aiming to improve strategic and diverse energy production. And the speechwriters really went over time. They said from here, the group will collaborate on knowledge sharing and capacity building, as well as policy and regulatory expertise in the fields of carbon dioxide capture, transportation, storage, and applications such as enhanced oil recovery. So the news release writers, as I mentioned, went all out. It's a three-year memorandum of understanding, which the group says will encourage the immediate engagement of these organizations that are under another acronym, to prioritize joint cooperative projects and ensure a formal evaluation process of activities and accomplishments. Well, if you can sort all that out in your brain, you're a better man than I. Harry Siemens is on the line with us from Winkler, and we're joined as well now by Dr. Tim Ball from the West Coast in Victoria. Harry, we've already said good morning to you. Tim Ball, first of all, there's a couple of points I'd like to review with you, but these memorandums of understanding that our provincial government seems to tie into, any thoughts on if they actually take us down the road anywhere, or what's your thoughts on it?
Well, of course, the whole thing is completely unnecessary, and anything to do with CO2 is unnecessary. It's been created by that UN bureaucracy, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, who were set up to isolate CO2 as causing human CO2 causing global warming. There is no empirical evidence at all. All of the evidence that CO2 causes warming comes from computer models. And in fact, the reality is that they had to change in about 2003, 2004, where they were calling it global warming because they said if CO2 increases, the temperature will go up. But in around 1998, it started to change. CO2 kept going up, but the temperature started to level off and go down. So they stopped calling it global warming and calling it climate change. Just to emphasize the point that all of this is absolutely useless, and all it does is perpetuate a spending of the taxpayers' money and maintaining bureaucratic jobs, because that's what's going on here. If you want something to continue, whether it's necessary or not, give it to the government. They'll elaborate on it and expand on it and prove to you why it needs to keep going. But the original Kyoto Protocol, which of course is being repeated by the Paris Climate Agreement and the Green Climate Fund, even they admitted, the people that wrote this thing admitted that even if it was completely implemented, it would make virtually no difference to the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. And so this is the problem. As I said, once you create a bureaucracy to keep something going, the bureaucracy will set about keeping it going, whether it solves the problem or not.
So right now, Tim Ball, we're in an unusually warm December, and a lot of people take that as proof positive that we are in a long-term warming trend. So let's get back to that side of the discussion. We know climate changes, we know things fluctuate. What's your own view as to the kind of weather we're having and where that fits into the climate picture right now?
Well, what they're doing is what they've done all along, where they present normal events and with the implication that they're abnormal, because they know people don't know what normal is. And when you start to step back and look at the weather patterns over 100 years or 200 years or even 10,000 years, you see what's going on right now is well within normal or natural variability. And just to illustrate the point, They're claiming now that Gore goes around saying, oh, we're the warmest ever. The reality is that the current temperatures, it's been warmer for about 95% of the last 10,000 years than it is right now. But that doesn't get reported. And, of course, the evidence for that comes from ice cores from the Greenland ice cap. And what they show is that it was much warmer for most, or 95% of the last 10,000 years. And, in fact, probably 2 to 3 degrees Celsius warmer than at present. And we've got proof of that. I've got a photograph of a white spruce tree growing, and it's a pretty good dimension. It's a fossilized tree, radiocarbon dated at 5,000 years old. And you find it 100 kilometers north of the current tree line. And the only way that could be there is for the global temperature to be about 3 degrees Celsius warmer than at present. But none of this gets out to the public, and they can continue to exploit the people's lack of knowledge and lack of understanding.
Harry Siemens is listening intently, I'm sure. Harry, let's jump in with your question here.
I'm actually in Fargo, North Dakota right now and watching American television. Tim, have you seen any attitude shift from when President Trump first started as to where he's going to continue to go with his whole thought on economy and climate?
Yeah, I was invited to Washington to speak to the people that were in charge of deregulation of EPA and the climate issue. And my recommendation to Trump was don't try to get out of these climate agreements on the basis of the science. You'll get tripped up every time, and the public wouldn't understand. Just pull out of the climate agreement because it's a bad deal. And that's exactly what he did. And the effect of that was Ivanka, his daughter, wanted the Paris Climate Agreement. But once he showed her the deal and how it only benefited China and Russia and India and not the U.S., they pulled out. So that's happening. The second thing is that the requests for climate change research from the U.S. government are down by 40%. And, of course, it's been the government-funded climate research that's been driving all of this. So, yes, there are some shifts and changes going on, and the truth is that the U.S. could simply walk away from the Paris Climate Agreement, and there's nothing the rest of the world can do about it. So, yeah, there people are becoming aware. The other way, Harry, people are becoming aware is UN did a poll of 8 million people in the world. They asked them to list their 16 concerns. Global warming was 16th on that list. So the public are not concerned about it anymore. They're not responding to it because they simply don't know. They just ignore it. And Pew Center polls, which are American polls left of center, they list 34 concerns for the American public, and global warming is 32nd on that list, too.
So, Tim Ball, then, in this context, just two things. First of all, and I often get you to do this when we have our discussions, let's just get you to give us a couple of references for people who would want to find the other side of the story, which isn't carried in the popular media. And then I'd like you I'd like to get into a discussion with you about a magazine article I recently read on this topic. And on my third request is let's get your view on, all right, we've had a warm winter so far. Where do you see it going from here?
Okay, the first thing is that the top climate website of skeptics in the world is called What's Up With That, WUWT, and if they Google that, they'll find it, and it's the broadest discussion. Some of it they will find a bit technical and difficult but the majority of it, and I publish on there on average about once a week. They can also look at my own website, drtimball.com, drtimball.com, and they'll find reference there to the most recent book that I wrote with a 100-page summary of who, what, where, when, why, and how this whole deception was achieved. So those are a couple of places they can go to. Your second question was?
Well, my third question probably, Tim, as you've answered the first part, is what's your own personal view? All right, we're in this warmish winter. I drove through a light rain on my way into Yorkton for the program today. What do you see? I think earlier there were all kinds of stories in the media about the Farmer's Almanac, etc., and probably good old Environment Canada predicting a very cold, nasty winter. What's your take?
Well, the Farmer's Almanac, by the way, is much more accurate than the Environment Canada, and I had students do studies on that. The only place the Farmer's Almanac make a mistake is when they say, give a specific day for a storm in a region. Nobody can do that, but in their general forecast, they're correct, because what they do is they look at sunspots, and of course, that's a reflection on what the sun is doing, and that's the primary control of climate on the Earth. We're into a pattern, as we've talked about for the last couple of years, of a jet stream that's wandering well north and well south. And, of course, that's why you've got that influx of warm air on the prairies right now. But if you look at eastern Canada, Toronto, for example, this morning at minus 11, and you look at Britain, that's in really Arctic conditions at the present time. So when you look around the middle latitude, you see these extremes. And that pattern will continue for at least three or four more years. But overall, we're heading for cooler conditions because the sun continues to decline in activity. And basically, that's what controls it. So as the sun declines in its output of energy, we'll see a continued cooling till about 2040.
It's On the Land from the Rock with Tim Ball in Victoria and Harry Siemens, as it turns out, south of the 49th parallel. I will get back with more discussion about climate after this.
It's time now for Christmas Tales, the original Christmas story like you've never heard before. See more about Christmas Tales at BigTreePublishing.com.
Take the Shabbat. Beautiful starry night was that first Christmas Eve, as I recall it. Me and my mate Bert, we were hugging the fire, trying to keep from freezing to death while we watched over our flock. Toast and marshmallows, drink and beer. When out of nowhere comes this shiny guy. "Fear not," says he. "Fear not," says I. "Well, that's a joke. Scared the wits out of us, you did. Look at poor old Bert there. He spilled his beer." "Point is," he says, "I got these incredibly good tidings of great joy for you and for all mankind. Well, that'll make a nice change after all the doom and gloom coming out of Rome these days. What's your news?" "To you is born this day a Saviour, and he's Christ the Lord." "Christ the Lord, you say? Sounds important. Must be born in one of them fancy palaces up in Jerusalem." "No, as a matter of fact, he's born just over yonder there in Bethlehem, born in a barn." "Oh, born in a barn. Gonna have a problem closing doors, is he?" "Actually, opening doors is gonna be his thing. So, if he's so great, how's the likes of Bert and I gonna recognize him? Hard for humble shepherds to relate to greatness, you know."
"Oh, hope has come. Alleluia. Savior come. Alleluia. Peace will reign. Alleluia. Mercy reign. Alleluia.
Christmas Tales with Justin Reese and Russ Rosine. Brought to you by Sagebrush Studios in Churchbridge, Manny Phone Shop, and The Rock 98.5. The Rock Business Guide, featuring these rock solid businesses.
What do you look for in a lawyer? Trust, honesty, experience, an advocate? Communication that's easy to understand? Look to Adeola at Cogent Law. With 16 years of experience, she brings expert advice. Cogent Law, downstairs at 41 Broadway Street, West Yorkton. Visit CogentLawSK.com.
Sheila's Place is Yorkton's unique boutique. You must try their gourmet-flavored pickled eggs and mustards. And Rock Tape is new. The world's best kinesiology tape for pain. Lifting skin away from muscle-promoting blood flow. Sheila's Place, 153 Broadway Street West in Yorkton.
The Rock Business Guide, featuring these rock-solid businesses.
What does your future look like?
A good career, a reliable car, your own home, a better life. Whatever your vision, it begins with a quality education. At Parkland College, you can get a degree, a diploma, or a certificate to help you get started on your journey. Your future is ready for you, and so are we. Apply online at parklandcollege.sk.ca. Parkland College, your college, your future.
It's a great way to spend a Saturday night. RE/MAX Blue Chip Realty Saturday Night Hockey with Randy Atkinson. And it's only on The Rock.
It's another great Coppell Valley Hockey League game on RE/MAX Blue Chip Realty Saturday Night Hockey. Saturday, 8 p.m. with the Belcaris Bronx visiting the Grenfell Spitfires. RE/MAX Blue Chip Realty Saturday Night Hockey is brought to you by Reps AgriParts and Sales Limited of Melville, Jason Bullich of Power Ridge Fertilizer, Baber's PharmaSave, and The Rock.
I'm pregnant. I have never felt so lost. I can't be pregnant. I can't be pregnant. Somebody help me.
You're bringing a life into this world, but you're not ready. You just want someone to talk to. Birthright is on your side. No judgment, completely confidential. Whether you need a free pregnancy test or just a shoulder to lean on, we're here for you 24/7 every day of the year, and all our services are free. Birthright, 1771 Rose Street, Regina. Call us toll-free at 1-800-550-4900 or visit birthright.org.
This message is brought to you by St. Gerard's Roman Catholic Church and Parkland Right to Life.
I've been really good this year, so I would like a 2018 Honda CR-V with real-time all-wheel drive and 190 horsepower turbocharged engine in crystal black pearl. No, wait, lunar silver metallic. Can you do that for me, Santa?
Okay, Bobby. Just please get off my knee.
Feel like a kid again at the Bring Home a Honda event. Lease a 2018 CR-V LX from just $90 a week with zero down at 3.99% over 60 months. Visit Royal Honda for details.
You're listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. If you have a question for today's guest, call 783-5160 or 1-855-449-5160.
And we have on the line with us from, is it Fargo, Harry Siemens you're at today?
You bet.
Harry Siemens and Fargo Timball in Victoria, and we're discussing some of the latest climate change issues. Timball, maybe this would be a good point. You've actually been had to fight some major court battles over the years because of your stance on these warming issues and climate change. Maybe bring us up to date on that.
Okay, I had three lawsuits filed against me, all by the same lawyer, and all by members of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. That's the UN agency. And the first one was from Gordon McBean, who was an assistant deputy minister at Environment Canada, and he chaired the founding meeting of the IPCC in 1985. My wife and I decided we couldn't afford to fight that lawsuit because the legal costs are prohibitive. And so I simply withdrew the article. The second lawsuit I got was from Andrew Weaver, who is now the leader of the Green Party in the BC legislature, but at the time was a professor at the University of Victoria. And I wrote an article, and I got a lawsuit of defamation. And the lawsuit, by the way, what they do is they also file the lawsuit against the agency that published what you said. So they pit one against the other. And what the lawyer did was, when he sued the media outlet, Canada Free Press, they immediately said, okay, we'll publish an apology for you. The lawyer then wrote the apology, which they published, never consulted me at all. My wife and I sat down and said, no, we're going to fight. So we continued the lawsuit. That lawsuit just finished in Vancouver court about 4 weeks ago. And I can't speak about it right now because the judge has not brought down his judgment. Before the court case, I was quite willing to talk, even though my lawyer advised me not to talk, because I said to him, if I don't talk, then they've won. That's what they want to do. They want to silence me. Within 9 days of getting the Weaver lawsuit, I gave a presentation in Vancouver explaining how they'd carried out the corruption of the climate science, and particularly a thing called the hockey stick. And afterwards, I was interviewed, and they said, what do you think of Michael Mann, who produced the hockey stick? And my flippant comment was, well, he's at Penn State and maybe he should be at State 10. Well, within 12 hours, I got another lawsuit, and I'm now battling and fighting that one. My legal bills have run to $600,000 so far, and of course the attacks throughout the internet and everything else. So, as Voltaire said, it's dangerous to be right when people in authority are wrong, and that's the price I'm paying. And so that's where we stand with all of that legal action.
Well, I guess the question is big. So how are you managing to deal with $600,000 worth of lawsuits?
Well, the sad news is that before I discovered that I could put a thing up on my website, a PayPal site, so people could donate, we spent all of our savings. But my wife and I talked about it. We knew what we were getting into. You know, I know very well if you stand up in the coconut shy, they're going to throw at you. And but then once we put the website up, we got donations. And it's just been incredible from all over the world. And some of the most encouraging ones, Jack, are ones that say, look, I don't totally agree with what you're saying, but God darn it, you got the right to say it. And of course, that's what it is an issue of free speech. And particularly with regard to science. And if Canadians think they've got free speech, they're sadly mistaken. And in fact, the only country in the world that has free speech as its number one priority is the U.S. And that's why it's so much under attack all the time, because of its free speech mandate.
Well, I wanted to, as I mentioned, bring up an article which I recently read and which I've sent to you. But before I do that, just want to get back to our brief discussion before the break about where you see the things going this year as far as our winter and into the coming growing season. If I'm hearing you right, you're saying you see another few years, 2-3 years, was it, of the kind of unusual weather we're having, but overall a colder trend. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it's only unusual in the sense that it's not what we had prior to it, but then we had much more predictable weather. And one of the ways that the farmers can see it in terms of the change of the wind directions, you know, that previously we had winds in the winter out of the northwest and in the summer out of the southwest. Now you're getting far more north and south winds. And of course that changes the whole temperature regime and also the precipitation regime. One of the things about this cooling that we've had going on right now, and Harry can probably talk to this down in Fargo, but that whole Dakotas region and the American eastern Great Plains has had quite a severe drought. And it hasn't got much attention because, fortunately, the temperatures were not high. And so the amount of evapotranspiration that went on didn't have as big an impact as it would have if, like in the 1930s and 1980s, you had high temperatures along with the low precipitation. So that's the pattern I see continuing going forward.
Well, talking about changing winds now, I was informed by someone the other day that the climate change is what's driving all the wildfires in California. Do these changes in winds and whatnot, do they impact that? What's your view on the California situation?
No, the wind is a factor there, but they're called the Santa Ana winds, and they've blown forever. Here's the pattern that occurs every summer and fall and winter in California. You get a hot, dry summer because it's a Mediterranean-type climate with winter precipitation and drought in the summer. That dries out the vegetation, which then is very prone to fires. And of course you get burning off the vegetation. Then you get to November and December where you start to get the rains. And of course, the fire season is aggravated by, as I said, the Santa Ana winds that are blowing right now. Then when that stops, you start to get the rain, and then I guarantee you, between now and over Christmas and into early January, you'll start to hear about mudslides. That's the standard pattern in California. So again, what's going on there is perfectly normal. What you haven't been hearing enough of is that the fires that are affecting Los Angeles and area right now were set by migrants camping out in the bush and triggering these fires.
Tim Ball,
one question, Jack.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to wrap this up, gentlemen. I promised him I was going to get him out before 5 minutes to the hour. He's got another engagement. Tim, thanks very much. And Harry, as always, great conversation.
You too, and thanks to Trump, we can now say that.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm ready to come on any of your programs anytime and try and answer questions for the people and the farmers.
We'll do that.
I will call you sometime early next week.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We're on the land from the rock. Those, we have a great discussion with Tim Ball and Harry Siemens. Just to wrap up the program, it was my good fortune to get out and enjoy some little Christmas cheer on the land this week. For those of us who are diehard real Christmas fanatics, the debate will go on over real, fake, or artificial. But on an acreage just west of Saltcoats, there's no debate. This past weekend, Irv and Susie Switzer hosted not only tree seekers, but a group of young soccer players. So, Irving Switzer, tell me about the day today, first of all.
Well, we have our U13 girls soccer team. They're doing a fundraiser to raise money for their entry fee and uniforms at the World Cup tournament. So they're doing sleigh rides and hot dogs and hot chocolates. And
when and where is that tournament?
It's in Regina. I think it starts around the Easter break.
Okay. Good. So this is your operation here is all about Christmas trees. Tell me about that.
Well, when we first moved out here 15 years ago, we were looking for something to do with our little plot of land here and looked into planting Christmas trees, and it kind of started from there and started selling trees maybe 3-4 years ago. And this is the first year that we're set up out in the field where we figured we had enough trees that we could advertise a little bit and get a few more people out.
So roughly what acreage are your trees covering?
We've probably got about 10 acres maybe that the trees are on.
Yeah. What sort of a year was it? It seemed drier. How did the trees react, I guess, is a better question.
The trees did okay this year. Obviously not as much growth on them, which maybe made the shearing a little easier, not as much to cut off.
Mm-hmm.
The seedlings that we planted, we had to make sure we watered them a little more this year. But
so at this stage, then when do you start trimming?
Probably when they start to, when they're 2 to 3 feet tall, you can start doing a little bit of corrections to them and trimming around the base of the tree for making the handle of the tree.
Do you start your own seedlings, or who supplies that? How does that work?
The Christmas Tree Growers Association that we belong to, we pool our orders, and there's a greenhouse north of Prince Albert that we get our seedlings from.
So are there some fertilizer secrets or anything like that? What's your application?
Just natural growth. They get water when they start, and then it's just Mother Nature after that.
And I hope you can hear the kids doing the Christmas carols in the background there. And talking about water, Irv says the secret, if you're into natural trees, get it in water as soon as you can and keep its feet wet. Well, thanks for joining us on the program today, and our guests Harry Siemens and Tim Ball, and Scott Fitzsimmons, my cohort across the board from me. I'm Jack Dawes, on the land from The Rock.
Thanks for listening to All You Ever Wanted to Know. If you or your organization would like to appear on the program, call Jordan at 306-786-7625. All You Ever Wanted to Know. Only on The Rock 98.5.